Water management. The impact of water-related contamination on health in any setting is far-reaching, and consideration of water issues is an essential component of all infection control efforts. However, since water is delivered by a community public water supplier, the responsibility for water management is shared by the healthcare facility and an outside entity. Once water enters the facility's distribution infrastructure, it is the responsibility of the facility. However, both entities must play a role in infection prevention. There are a handful of basic terms that may be encountered in healthcare settings. Black water is wastewater containing sewage contaminants. Deionized water is purifying water that has had charged ions removed. It is used for various applications within healthcare, including the laboratory. Gray water is water, as from a sink or bath, that does not contain serious contaminants, as from toilets or diapers. Potable water is water suitable for drinking. Reverse osmosis water is water that has been forced through a special membrane, under pressure, producing highly purifying water, which typically requires remineralizing with essential trace elements before use. It is used for various applications in healthcare, including dialysis. Hospital water may serve as a reservoir of healthcare-associated pathogens. Water-related infections and outbreaks have been documented as arising from a variety of sources. The quality of drinking water depends in part on preventive maintenance and surveillance for HAIs, including a high index of suspicion for infectious agents associated with moisture or water distribution systems. It also depends on the quality of the water supplied and the treatment methods used by the municipality. Key point: though a major component of water quality is outside of facility control, IPs should still understand the basic design of water supply and waste management systems so that they can provide useful input on plumbing system designs and understand potential factors that may contribute to suspected waterborne infections. Factors outside of the facility control that may influence the number of HAIs related to a facility's water supply include municipal water treatment methods. Use of chloramines, rather than chlorine, to reduce the risk of Legionella in the distribution systems of municipal water supplies. Multiple reports support the reduced risk of hospital-associated Legionnaire's disease when municipal water treatment plants use monochloramine. Water hardness and sediment. Malfunction of valves, filters, or other equipment due to minerals and sediments remaining in the water after treatment processes. Unplanned disruptions outside of the facility. Heating or chlorination, flushing, and water testing before resumption of affected water distribution lines due to water main breaks or flooding. CDC guidelines offer specific guidance on remediation strategies for the water distribution system, including conditions involving a boiled water advisory, BWA. The quality of water in a healthcare facility's distribution system can be determined by testing the water. While routine testing is not usually necessary, sampling during outbreak investigations can help determine needed infection control measures. Samples should be assayed by a laboratory that uses established methods and quality assurance protocols. Water management plans. Recent guidance from the Joint Commission and the CDC recommends that healthcare facilities develop a facility water management plan to prevent water-associated diseases, including Legionella. Some facilities with complex plumbing systems may include several water management plans. A team or individual should oversee development, management, and maintenance activities. Below are the components of a water management plan. Establish a water management program team to implement the plan. Describe the building's water systems, including a diagram of water supply sources, treatment systems, processing steps, control measures, and end-use points. Identify external hazards, that is, compromised supply, and describe plans for mitigating or managing events. Identify areas where biofilms may be present and areas where opportunistic pathogens may grow and spread. Conduct an infection control risk assessment, ICRA, and adapt for potential water exposures both direct and indirect. Identify control point locations and determine how control measures will be applied using both the environmental assessment and the ICRA, and decide how to monitor control measures. Set control limits for measures that will be monitored: water temperature, residual disinfectant, HPC, heterotrophic plate counts, and / or total organic carbon, and take corrective action. Outbreak and contingency response plans are a part of a water management plan. Plans should be verified via validation, documentation, and communication. monitoring for environmental pathogens. Water distribution systems have been the source of Legionella outbreaks in both acute and chronic care facilities. As such, much of the focus on monitoring and controlling for water-associated pathogens is on Legionella. Other bacterial and fungal contamination risks associated with water include Pseudomonas, Acinetobacter, Moraxella, Aeromonas, Xanthomonas, Aspergillus, Fusarium spp, and atypical, non-tuberculosis, Mycobacteria. All of these genera are associated with serious disease and can potentially be transmitted directly or indirectly from faucets and sinks or through inhalation of aerosols, such as those generated from construction activities or showerheads. However, based on limited quantifiable data, the risk of healthcare-associated transmission of these pathogens from water is considered relatively low. Environmental sources of water-associated pathogens. Important reservoirs for water-associated pathogens include potable water systems, cooling towers, flush sinks, faucet aerators, hoppers and toilets, eyewash/drench shower stations, ice chests/machines, water baths for thawing/warming liquids, that is blood products, whirlpool or spa-like baths, decorative water fountains and walls, refrigerators and freezers, patient care equipment, that is respiratory care equipment, steam supply systems, systems to dispose of human waste. Additionally, facilities providing hemodialysis require more expensive, dedicated water treatment and delivery systems. Key point: the use of appropriate water temperatures is among the most critical prevention methods available to the IP. ASHRAE recommends that cold water be stored below 20 degrees Celsius, 68 degrees Fahrenheit, and hot water above 60 degrees Celsius, 140 degrees Fahrenheit, circulating with a minimum return temperature of 51 degrees Celsius, 124 degrees Fahrenheit, or the highest allowable temperature specified in state regulations and building codes. Note that there is a difference between storage temperatures and the temperature provided at the tap, which must be kept at a level that prevents scalding. Though certain risks may not be entirely mitigated in all cases, proper sink/fixture design together with preventive maintenance can help reduce infection concerns, or eliminate them completely, in some cases. Systematic cleaning routines should be established, example, for aerator use. Avoiding the use of tap water for cleaning equipment and procedures and replacing faulty fixtures may also address observed issues. Where applicable, follow and incorporate manufacturers' recommendations and instructions into policies surrounding maintenance, cleaning, and other related preventive strategies. Hemodialysis. The purity of water used for hemodialysis, reuse, or concentrate preparation is critical. Water used for dialysis should be sampled monthly, and bacteria must be less than 200/mL. Dialysate should be also cultured, and similar levels of bacteria must be maintained. Most hemodialysis centers have water treatment systems that consist of a water softener, carbon and particulate filters, reverse osmosis and/or deionizers, and filters and ultrafilters with or without UV light. Systems should be designed to remove the anticipated chemical and biological impurities found in potable water where they are installed. The design of water distribution systems for hemodialysis should follow these general principles. Plastic piping to prevent contamination of treated water with elements such as copper, lead, or zinc from metal pipes. Continuous loop system with no dead ends or unused branches to prevent bacterial contamination in such stagnant areas. Constant flow of water through all distribution piping with a minimum flow velocity of 1.5 feet per second, feet/sec, at the distal end of a direct system at peak demand and 3 feet/sec in the distal portion of the loop in an indirect feed system. Minimum number of elbows and T-joints. Outlets at the highest point of the system to provide adequate germicide contact of all parts of the distribution system during disinfection. Avoidance of use of storage tanks due to their increased water amount and surface available for bacterial contamination. If a storage tank is used, it should be the smallest tank possible, designed to have a constant flow with no stagnant areas. It should have a conical or bowl-shaped base, drain from the bottom, use an airtight lid, and be able to be cleaned, disinfected, and rinsed. All storage tanks should be vented through a hydrophobic 0.2 micron air filter. An ultrafilter or some other form of bacterial control device should be installed distal to the storage tank. All piping, including water lines between the water outlet and the back of the dialysis machines, and storage tanks must be disinfected at intervals adequate to prevent bacterial growth. Disinfection must be done at least monthly, but more frequent disinfection may be necessary to maintain viable bacteria and endotoxin levels below OMI standards. Frequency is dependent on the quality of the water entering the system and the individual system design. Disinfection schedules should be designed to prevent bacterial growth rather than eliminate it when bacterial contamination over the limit is detected. EPA-approved chemicals should be used according to IFU and must be thoroughly rinsed from the system with treated water before the system is used. Clear separation of clean and dirty areas must be established in order to avoid cross-contamination. Employees must wear appropriate PPE when cleaning and disinfecting hemodialysis machines to avoid exposure to bloodborne pathogens. Controlling Legionella. As seen above, sources of aerosolized water can promote the growth and dispersion of Legionella. Once Legionella is introduced into a facility's potable water system, organisms may proliferate in heated water reservoirs spread throughout the water distribution system, that is, pipes. The prevention of healthcare-associated Legionnaires' disease depends upon identifying possible water-related sources where Legionella growth could occur and instituting control measures. Risk assessment evaluation has proved useful in predicting Legionella SPP contamination in water systems. Legionella testing is not required in most areas or jurisdictions if not associated with clinical disease. However, testing may be recommended when there is evidence of clinical disease or as part of a Legionella prevention plan. Note that the mere presence of Legionella organisms in a water system does not predict the occurrence of disease outcomes. Sampling programs with more than 30% positivity rates have been associated with clinical disease. The CDC recommends testing for routine and non-routine purposes to establish a baseline measurement for performance indicators, validate water management plans, evaluate potential growth and transmission sources, and test remedial treatment efforts. Routine testing may benefit facilities that house or treat individuals at increased risk for Legionnaires' disease, have a history of associated Legionnaires' disease cases, and/or are unable to meet control limits consistently. Test methods vary by type of water system and reason for testing. A plan must be in place to remove Legionella from the water system. Key point: resource sharing control strategies for Legionellosis are provided by multiple different organizations, including OSHA, ASHRAE, and the CDC. The CDC's guidelines provide a series of steps that should be undertaken whenever either a single case of laboratory-confirmed nosocomial Legionnaires' disease is identified or two or more cases of laboratory-confirmed disease, which might be healthcare-associated, occur within 6 months of each other. Remediation strategies. Planning hazard prevention through system and equipment design as well as preventive maintenance remains the strongest approach. However, given the best of intentions, disruptions do occur, whether during construction, natural disasters, or technical or human-made disasters. We'll look at two types of disruptions: utility disruption and leaks and floods. Utility disruption. Emergency preparedness requires a number of strategies, including sufficient storage of supplies and follow-up response protocols for planned or unplanned power loss affecting water flow. IPs should participate in planning and response to prevent, detect, and/or reduce infectious hazards in accordance with TJC utility and emergency management standards. Facility policies should include contingency planning for supplying water for drinking, cleaning, bathing, and toilet flushing. In addition, an unplanned disruption may affect the water distribution lines and require heating or chlorination, flushing, and water testing before resumption of use. CDC guidelines offer specific guidance on remediation strategies for the water distribution system, including conditions involving a boiled water advisory, BWA. IPs should be aware of and have access to their facility's water quality analysis report, which must be provided to local water control authorities. The report includes elements measured against standards such as turbidity, 1 unit, microbiologic contaminants, 0 coliform bacterium/100 mL, and residual disinfectant levels, such as chlorine, less than 4 mg/L chlorine. The preferred method of decontaminating the hot water system after a disruption must be identified in contingency plans. Any separate water storage and treatment system for dialysis should be included in the plan, including filter changes and disinfection. Leaks and floods. Water seepage and retained moisture may lead to serious bacterial and fungal contamination in air handling systems. Practical suggestions for cleanup and treatment of wet surfaces, whether ceilings, walls, or flooring, are available. Cleanup protocols affecting various surfaces and furnishings should be followed. Clean and disinfect hard surfaces after the area is drained. Remove carpeting, loose tiles, and buckled flooring to allow the support surface to dry before replacing the items. Wet carpeting with a low-level disinfectant or sanitizer before removing it to minimize dust dispersion. Remove and replace wallboard and other porous surfaces if they cannot be cleaned and dried within 72 hours. Moisture meter readings should be less than 20% moisture content. Clean and allow hard surface furniture to dry. Dry, sand, and revarnish wood furniture. Replace cloth furniture. Replace electrical equipment that cannot be dismantled, cleaned, and reassembled. The key to preventing infection problems consists of removal of the moisture source, cleanup within 24 to 48 hours, disinfecting with diluted bleach solutions, and thorough drying.